Have you ever wondered what event leaders are doing right now to pack their rooms and convert attendees into high-ticket clients? Welcome to the High Profit Event Show, the podcast for experts who want to maximize profits and impact through live events. I'm Rudy Rodriguez, and each week I interview industry leaders to share what's working right now when it comes to filling your events, engaging your audience, and getting clients to enroll into your high-ticket programs. So stick around and be sure to hit that subscribe button. All right. Good morning. Good afternoon. Good evening. Welcome to today's episode. Special guest with us, Mr. Jason Gill. Welcome, sir.
Thank you. Thank you, Rudy.
Excited to have you here, sir. We were introduced by another one of our guests, Richard Miller, who runs a virtual event studio in Arizona. And he connected us because you also have a virtual event studio up in Vancouver, British Columbia, called Sunset Labs. And a little background for our audience. You've been producing events for over 20 years and produced over 1,000 live events, including 25 seminars of the sorts. You're very experienced in the world of live events.
Yeah, 25 conferences and summits, the big ones. Yeah, I've been in the field quite a long time. And I'm in Victoria on Vancouver Island, so a little bit out of Vancouver, but we're in the right quadrant in the Pacific Northwest here, yeah.
Thanks for clarifying. Yes, at Victoria Island off the coast of British Columbia.
It's It's so funny. It's Vancouver Island. Like, it should be Victoria Island because Victoria is the big city here, but it's Victoria on Vancouver Island that's not in Vancouver. And we would love to host you. If you can make it up here, Rudy, I will host you proper.
I would love that. I've heard so many great things about Victoria specifically. Is one of the most beautiful kept secrets in the world is what I hear from other Canadians. I'm excited to have you on today as our guest to speak on the subject of value leveling, amongst other things. I know you've been a mad scientist in your studio, helping your clients who are also event leaders to sort and tweak and run profitable live events. And the top of mind question for most people when it comes to live running an event, the first question is typically, well, what do I do an event about? The second question is, how do I promote it? How do I fill the event and how to get people to show up? And in the green room, you and I were talking about this kind of cool thing that you've been testing and getting some results about called value leveling. So I want to turn it over to you to fill us in on what you learned and what's working when it comes to promoting live events with value leveling.
Yeah, thanks, Rudy. I think that my relationship to commerce and events may be a little bit untraditional. I'm really committed that people have access to the information. So a lot of my work is about breaking down barriers to access. And sometimes money is a real barrier to access. And my world is a little bit more about getting the content out to the world. And so one of the troubles that all of us event producers deal with is getting people to come, getting them to commit. Especially when you're doing a hybrid event or an in-person live event, bums in seats is a very fixed mathematical ratio. There's this many seats. I need this many of them to be full in order to pay the bill. And then we get into potential conversions into other products and offerings and so on. We often struggle with, especially for inexpensive events or free events in particular, people will commit, they'll register. But the last minute, if it's snowing or they're bored or their friend invites them out to play tennis, they don't come. And so you end up with an empty seat, sometimes no money from that, or sometimes they'll buy some inexpensive ticket and they just won't come. So we created a model that we ended up calling value leveling. And I wanted to find a way to have people's butts on the line a little bit more when they make that commitment. So they're on the hook a little bit differently so that they probably will come. And the best hook, of course, is that they're invested. They have money on the line. If your content isn't quite enough, if they're not dying to be there, then sometimes a curveball will come and they'll make other choices. So value leveling at a simple level is we declare an amount that we say the event is worth. Let's say it's $100. We say we think this event is worth $100. We will charge you $100. You have to pay $100 to buy your ticket to come to the event. At the end of the event, you get to decide how much value you received and whether or not it was consistent with the $100 level that we asserted. So every single person at the event gets an envelope with a little piece of paper in it, and it says, I think I received this much value from the event. and they pick a number. And maybe it's $100, in which case nothing happens. We've already received the $100. Thank you. But maybe they say it's $80.
Yeah.
And so we refund them $20 before they walk out the door of the event that day. Maybe they say this was worth $0. And having attended, we give them that and we will pass them $100 and they can leave with their $100 from the event because they're asserting that we really missed the mark or we did not deliver on what we said we would deliver. And it's amazing information to see what people think about your event and whether you fulfilled on your promises. It takes some guts to do it. And we prime people in advance. We remind them at the beginning of the event. They know that's how it works. And we slowly started to educate our community that value leveling is a mechanism that we use here as often as possible to ensure that we stay true to our promises and you get to decide the value of the event. For example, at a recent conference, we gave hundreds of people the envelope at the end of the event. It was a $300 ticket that they had committed to. We refunded about $1,000. So some people would ask for $20 back. Some people asked for $300 back. Some people asked for $50. And then the other column on the piece of paper is, I received more value than what you asked of me. I feel I owe you more money. Here's what I think it's worth, and here's my money. And so people might put in an extra $20 or they might put in an extra $100. So in this recent event, we refunded $900 and we received back $3,600 in incremental payments of people saying it was worth more than you asked of me. We've used this probably 15, 18 times now. We've never refunded more than we've gotten back from people. It's amazing information. And it really puts us on the line to ensure that we're delivering value. We're deeply accountable. So I've been introducing value leveling to event producers every time I get the opportunity because I think it's a really great mechanism to, first of all, ensure that the bum is in the seat. And if they don't come, they don't get an envelope and they don't get the opportunity to ask for their money back. So at that point, it was, if you don't come to the $300 event, yes, your seat is empty, but the $300 is paid for. So as an event producer, my budgets are secured. I know exactly how many people are coming and what money that represents. And over time, I get to know, actually, it represents that much money plus probably 15% or whatever the number is over time. And our community gives us a lot of love for having a model that lets people not only choose, the conversation is value leveling. It's not about their capacity to pay money. As you might know, there's a lot of pay what you can or pay what you can afford models. This is a little bit different. It's not about how much money you have, it's about how much value we delivered. And so we ensure that's communicated frequently in the priming and at the beginning of the event and the beginning of each day. And then again, when we pass the envelopes out, did we deliver the value we said we would? And for people who don't have the resources and need to take back $50, I support that. I want them to have that if they need that. And I just find it's working out. So there's value leveling in a nutshell.
That's fascinating. That is fascinating. The fact that you've done it 15 times and you've always actually been paid more than you paid back. And the fact that it gives you that data, that's like the ultimate feedback form right there.
Yeah, it is. And the co-accountability that creates, I'm really fond of. It's not, they need to come. And we're asserting that. We're taking your money in advance.
Yeah.
And if you need it back, you can have it.
Yeah. Which addresses a couple of the problems that event leaders oftentimes face is, how do I get someone to buy a ticket? So when you have a risk reversal, like that helps, right?
Yeah.
So I'm going to get my value or I'm going to get my money back. And then also they paid. So if they don't show up, they don't get their money back. So it's double kind of, you said. So I can see how that solves multiple problems for event leaders. And what's coming through really clearly for me, I didn't mention this in your bio, but you are very much an impact oriented person and your company stream of consciousness is around bringing content to the world and your studio as well with Sunset Labs. And I really get that that's your commitment, figuring out how do you get people to engage with the content and change their lives effectively, which is the struggle for event leaders is because if we're doing an event, it's because we believe that we have something that can change somebody's life. And it's our moral responsibility to get people there and to facilitate engagement and an experience that helps them make that change. When it comes to events, one of the struggles that event leaders face is also keeping people engaged, right, throughout the event. I'm be curious to hear from you, given someone that is running a hybrid virtual event studio, what do you find has been working to maintain engagement throughout the event so people are in the room, off their phone, participating and getting the value that they're there to get?
Yeah, isn't that a fun minefield of experimentation and learning, eh? Well, yeah, so we produce virtual events where there's no audience in the room, and we produce hybrid events. And we do that both here in studio at Sunset Labs, and then we also produce out in the world. So we've produced hybrid events in France and New York and Toronto and Costa Rica and different places with a small team and a bunch of mobile gear. And so I've gotten to see sort of how different cultures engage differently. And I've been schooled a few times because the mechanisms that work in the Pacific Northwest don't fly when you're in a jungle in Costa Rica with 1,000 people. Like, it's just a different scenario. Oh, I wasn't trying to insulate against all these gorgeous humans. I was trying to protect against cell phone usage. It's like a different equation. So the first part of my answer to you is that it's situational and specific, and that you have to approach each event uniquely and with a slightly different view. So let me begin with the indoor conferences and summits, which I think is like a mainstay of a lot of our community, and in a hybrid format. One thing I think that people are really underestimate is the impact of learning styles and how different people need to engage the content differently in order to learn and retain information. I think that often what happens is event producers, we get into this silo of producing the content in the same way, regardless of who the audience is. We produce events we've done events for the Green Party of Canada, where the whole audience is comprised primarily of 65-year-old women. That audience needs something very different than an event that we would produce with IMAX, where we have 7 theaters full of grade 9 students learning about the ocean. Very different way that you need to publish your content and mix that show and handle the event, everything from registration through to welcoming, through to what are the engagement mechanisms for an average 65-year-old woman who's there to learn about democracy versus the mechanisms that are there for a grade 9 student who's reluctantly on some field trip to learn about the ocean, maybe. So I think that one thing that really needs to be brought into the conversation is that the way that we're producing engagement mechanisms, the way that we're trying to get people to participate and pay attention, is unique to that audience, and it needs to be different. And for the average event producer, if they're producing 20 events, I guarantee you there's some real nuance in the audience that they're hosting. And I doubt that their event production is dramatically shifting based on that audience. I think we get into habits and we just try to do the same thing all the time. So that's one layer. And then also inside of the conversation of learning styles is that you have to have ways for each person to engage inside of their natural learning style. So for an auditory learner, sound quality is everything. And that's sound quality in the room, in your venue. That's sound quality coming out of the phone if they're mobile and watching it that way. So audio quality is the thing. For a visual learner, it's the mix, the show, the diversity of the show, the quality of the color, the quality of the shot. Are there enough close-ups? Can they see people's eyes? Are they getting the nuance of body language? They're really trying to learn this way. For a kinetic learner, they need to be able to type. They need to be able to engage. You need to have chat available. You need to be doing polling. You need to be asking them questions that they can answer this way. You need to facilitate lateral conversation or breakouts so that they can talk to each other. And so that kinetic learner has a participatory way of learning. And so for us, when we're working with clients who are producing conferences or summits or retreats, we're always encouraging and trying to find ways to feather in a diversity of content and engagement opportunities that address and facilitate these different learning styles being expressed. And the goal is that, especially in long form content, you can get away with a lot in short form content that you can't in long form. So if you're doing a 90-minute webinar, you don't necessarily need to be thinking about all of these things that I'm expressing. Like kinetic learners, they'll find a way to engage. They'll stick around. If you're producing a 3-day conference and you haven't found a way to address somebody that needs to participate by moving their body, movement breaks, yoga in the morning, some way for them to get up and dance once in a while. You've seen these at events. And for some people, they're doing that by design. And other people, they're just doing it from a hype perspective, but they're not really related to the fact that people need to move. In long-form content, it's so vital that we're integrating different ways for people to participate that addresses their different learning style needs, such that they feel heard, gotten, and all of that, if we do it right, they're much less likely to be multitasking. They're much less likely to be off on the side, skimming Facebook or typing on their phone or playing Candy Crush, whatever the thing is that keeps people interested.
Yeah, my takeaway from what you're sharing here, Jason, is that it's easy to fall into habit of production, and it's important to look at every audience differently and ensure how that audience in particular learns or prefers to learn, and engaging the different learning modalities of that audience to maintain engagement. It's not always the exact same every single time.
Yeah.
And the other thing that I focus on a lot is that feeling when you've funded a crowdfund campaign at some point. Have you ever funded a project on crowdfunding?
Not on crowdfund, but I participated in funding.
So there's this thing that happens so often where you'll take an action, you'll sign a petition, or you'll fund a crowd, some documentary on the crowdfunding platform or something. You'll take an action that's meant to contribute to the thing, but you never get to see the results. You never find out, was my participation relevant? Did it make any difference whatsoever? And often at events, that's another thing where you've got people there for a half day conference on the environment, and you ask people to take certain actions or to engage in certain ways, but they never learn whether or not that action had bearing, whether or not it has any significance, whether or not it makes any difference. And so whatever kind of event we're producing, whether we're selling a coaching program or whether we're asking people to protect an old growth forest, ensuring that they understand the relevance of their participation is really important. Nobody wants to be a passive bystander or consumer. That's why live content is so different than YouTube. We don't want a live retreat that's being live streamed to feel like they're watching a YouTube video. It has to be like a pre-filmed piece of content. Like, how is it relevant that you're there? How do I acknowledge that you're here? How do I tell you the relevance of you being here? How do I show you that your being here makes a difference for me? And if we get to the place where you understand, and I've created enough participatory avenues for you to understand that your participation makes a difference for me, you're now really interested. You start to become invested because we're part of it together. It's not just you consuming my content. So I think that finding pathways for people to understand their relevance and to feel like they're part of a thing and not just consuming content, it's a very different experience for them.
Yeah, I like that thing you told me in the green room about the 5x5. You have people, you give five actions they can take, and then you give them 5 minutes to take those actions, and then you check in to see how many actions everyone took. So you can actually quantify the number of actions that were taken by your audience in a way to see, hey, am I actually moving people into some action that may benefit them and the cause or the event that...
Yeah.
The 5x5. I like that notion or that idea. Jason, I'd love to chat a little bit more about your studio. I know that you guys were a venue for events for many years. And just about 13 months ago, you guys made that transition into being a virtual and hybrid studio. Can you share with our audience a little bit about that? What kind of why you made that decision and maybe some of the capabilities that your studio has for supporting people who want to have profitable and impactful live events?
Yeah, thanks, Rudy. Well, the choice to make the transition wasn't really ours. We'd been an event venue for 19 years doing film screenings and art shows and kids' birthday parties and super mixed use, all rental based, all external. The occasional thing of my own, but mostly external rental events. Our landlord required us to change the model or exit. And there wasn't a lot of flexibility and there wasn't a lot of notice. My broadcast company, Stream of Consciousness, had been live for 10 years by that point in time last fall. So I kind of saw it as an opportunity to take my venue and to harmonize it with what Stream of Consciousness was doing and to create a true home base and a production studio for virtual and hybrid events, which of course have been growing a lot. And we've been producing those out in the world, but usually it's four or six of us with suitcases and flights, and I'd rather bring people to me and I'd rather service my region than chase the superstars around the world and deliver these broadcasts remotely. So we sold. It was an interesting 30 days, Rudy. We sold like our big sound system and a bunch of the venue lighting and kind of clubby, bouncy vibes, and installed a whole bunch of Blackmagic equipment and got new PTZ cameras and a bunch of new gear. And we built a 9-screen stage so that we can provide a speaker with a very sophisticated virtual event system. We installed a big video matrix and other tools. And at this point, Sunset Labs is the most sophisticated boutique studio on the West Coast. I don't think there's anything in Vancouver that's even close to where we are at now. And the complexity of what we can do. We were a stage when Burning Man was shut down during COVID. We were one of the official stages for Burning Man and produced that from Victoria. We've done the first ever live broadcast to IMAX. Here in Victoria, we had 7 IMAXs across Canada with kids learning about the ocean, produced from studio. So we have a nice tool set here, and I'm excited to introduce it to the world. It's been a beat of re-educating our community about what we are now and what we are not. We're still declining all kinds of invitations for Christmas mixers and kids' birthdays and film nights. And as we reintroduce ourselves to the world as a virtual and hybrid event production studio.
What's the evolution?
Yeah, it's fun. I really appreciate the, now that Stream of Consciousness and Sunset Labs are so kindred in the nature of the work that we do, my energy and my education and my nervous system have all really appreciated the singularity of that. Like, we do one thing and we do it out in the world in that way or here at home in the studio. And so I've appreciated the compounded nature of that. We're about to do a big broadcast for the launch of the World Indigenous Economic Forum, which is going to be a 24-hour broadcast from here in studio with different Indigenous nations joining us from around the world as the sun rises around the world. That's on November 15th, I think.
Wow.
And we just finished a big 3-day summit called the Victoria Forum, which was about the future of British Columbia. We've done events with Ukraine and Kiev. We just did a big event within Australia and New Zealand Maori and British Columbia Coast Salish Indigenous leadership, having a 3-nation dialogue about economics through an Indigenous worldview. We're getting the perfect type of work. And now we just need to populate the days and get more of it.
Yeah. Awesome, man. So for our listeners here who are keen and maybe wanting to explore running a virtual event or a hybrid type event, maybe they want to learn a bit more from you. I know you have a few opportunities for them to get to know you. Would you mind sharing those with our audience?
Yeah, we host discovery calls, and a lot of our clients are producing event remotely. So the event is elsewhere, the talent is elsewhere, but we're producing the virtual event from here in studio. And yeah, we can take calls with people and show them the studio, show them our capabilities, talk to them about their vision and mission and what they're up to, and discover how we can help produce their event and yeah, make the most of it. I've provided a link there that people can use to book studio demo time with me, and we can talk about what they're up to.
Excellent. Yeah, we'll make sure that link's here with the show notes that go along with today's recording. And am I understanding correctly, Jason, that when you say you can produce from there, but the other participants can be elsewhere, does that mean like your clients can stay in their home, but yet you become the central production source for the event? Is that correct?
Yeah. So we're mixing the show and adding the graphics and the music and the cutaways or doing breakout room management or that kind of thing. Yeah, we've produced like a meditation teacher training where we've actually set up a multi-camera micro studio in a living room in California. And we're mixing that show from here and doing a multi-camera mix from studio. We do a lot of remote production, and I'm really excited about multi-language remote production. I'm really stoked about the evolution of AI and its relationship to the availability of language. And again, breaking down barriers to access. I think that a year from today, we'll be producing all of our conferences and summits, and in particular, the cause-based environmental conferences or in 10 languages easily all the time. And so it's an exciting time to be in this field.
Yeah, being able to translate in real time using AI to a variety of languages and cultures and places around the world. That's really cool. Very cool. Jason, you also, in the show notes here, you're also including a like a checklist, I believe, like a tech check for event leaders as well. Do you mind sharing a little bit about that? I think a tech guide for speakers.
Yeah. A lot of people that are speaking on stages remotely, who are doing that from their home studio or from their home, or even taking meetings that are really important or pitching investors, whatever the structure is, it serves them to look and sound great online in those ways. And so we just made a little primer, how to look great and sound great. It includes what I call the four fundamentals, which is audio, video, internet, and the fourth pillar, the very important fourth pillar. That's so funny. And it breaks down all of those so that people can make good choices about how to look great and sound great online.
Perfect. And if people want to learn more about you, I know your studio website is sunsetlabs.ca, not .com, but .ca for Canada, sunsetlabs.ca.
Canada.
Yes. And you also have a LinkedIn profile, which we'll include here along with the show notes as well. Jason, any final comments to wrap up our interview today?
No, Rudy, thank you so much for your time. It's a neat time to be in the event industry, and I'm grateful for yourself and Richard and other folks in our field who are looking at innovative ways to connect. And I just really appreciate the show that you've curated and all these conversations that you brought together, which serve people like me in the field. And thank you.
You're welcome, my friend. It's been a pleasure having you on today as a guest. Appreciate you having on.
Thank you for listening to the High Profit Event Show. If you are a seminar leader or thought leader or event service provider who has led or supported profitable, successful events to over 100 people, and you've been effective at enrollment into your high-end coaching, education, mastermind type programs, we're looking for guests. Love to have you on the show. You can go to our website, virtualeventsalesteam.com, click on the podcast tab and submit an application to be on our show. Also, if you found the show to be valuable, share it with someone who you think might benefit from it. Take a moment, please leave a review, and also subscribe if you haven't already. And lastly, if you have an upcoming event, whether it be virtual or in person, and you'd like to have a conversation about how to fill your coaching, education, mastermind programs fast using events, you're welcome to book a complimentary 15-minute consult with either myself or a member of my team on our website, virtualeventsalesteam.com. Again, this is Rudy Rodriguez, and congratulations on investing the time to listen to this episode. I hope it's been valuable. Have a great day.